Often, when people think of the second coming of Christ, that thought is associated with a lot of fear. Think about all the times you've heard on the news about someone who is convinced that Christ is going to come on a certain date, and suddenly they are fleeing into the hills or into the mountains or into the caves somewhere. They're going somewhere they think they will be safe. And I admit there are some images in Scripture that could give rise to fear. But I think there's also images in Scripture, and those are the stronger ones, that give rise to images of hope, of comfort, of peace. Take the first reading today. Now, I realize that it refers more directly to the first coming of Christ. Isaiah is speaking some hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And yet, by extension, we know it also is a reference to the time when Christ will come again and gather us into the kingdom of his Father. Listen to the words. Comfort. Give comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. And then at the end, like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom, leading the ewes with care. What more powerful images could we have of the gentle, tender love of our God and God's care for us, God's desire to gather us into his kingdom? From there, I would like to go to the gospel reading. I want to begin and focus primarily on the first sentence. Let me read it again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That word, beginning. If you stop and think about it, that word is right at the beginning of John's gospel. Although John's gospel is written some years after Mark's gospel. But also we find it right at the beginning of the book of Genesis. It says, in the beginning. Mark must have pondered long on how to begin his account of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the word he used, beginning. To associate in our minds the beginning in the book of Genesis. And to begin to say to us that God is about something new. In this person of Jesus Christ, God is making a new creation. The old order is passing away. Something new is coming and happening. Things are changing in a dramatic way. Now let us go on. The word gospel. When you and I hear that word, probably one or two things come to our mind. We could be thinking about one of the four gospels, either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or we could be thinking in a more general sense about the message of salvation through Jesus Christ, who died and who rose and ascended to the Father. We call that the gospel, the good news. But at Mark's time, the word had a very different meaning. It was the way they spoke about an imperial victory. And what would happen is, when the emperor had won a great battle, had a victory, he would send out messengers with gospel, good news. And they would proclaim to the kingdom that the emperor had won this great battle. It was an evangelium, a gospel, a good news. So Mark is there, is saying, this Jesus has won a battle, and it is the good news of all time. Let us go to the next words. Notice Mark doesn't hide anything here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, proclaiming who this Jesus is from the very beginning. But there's a deeper layer here. In Roman times, and that's when Jesus, right, it was in Roman times, often Caesar was called Son of God. He was, in a sense, deified. So what is Mark doing? This is the true Son of God. This is the true King of the universe. This is the one who has won the great victory, far greater than any human victory. Mark is saying all of that to us in that very simple, very concise sentence. Then what happens after that? Mark brings us back to the prophet Isaiah, to the passage that we just heard in the first reading, talking about a messenger who will go before the anointed one. Mark wants us to know that that messenger has come, and that messenger is John the Baptist, and the anointed one is the one who is to follow him, Jesus the Christ. Mark wants us to know that so that we will believe in him, so that we will give our lives to him, so that you and I will find salvation through him. Mark wants us to come to a deep faith. Let's go to Peter now, 2 Peter. And it was read so clearly this morning, it came out so strong. He asked that question, how should we act since we believe that the Lord is going to come again? What should we do? How should we conduct ourselves? He said, we should conduct ourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. In holiness and devotion, longing for that day that Jesus will come again to gather us into the kingdom of our Father. If you remember last week at Mass, the choir sang a song, and at the end of the song, it was Maranatha. That was a very ancient prayer, and it meant, come, Lord Jesus. Those early Christians longed for the day that Christ would come again. We too are to long for that. And St. Peter tells us something else. He says, we await a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. And he says, since we await that, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him at peace. Yes, we have every reason to be filled with hope, full of confidence as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we live in union with Him, if we live in oneness with Him, we have nothing to fear. Because He will be like a shepherd, gently gathering us to Himself, leading us to the heavenly pastures, where we will know life, we will know joy for all eternity.